This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those of you who do not know me yet, I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Rainmaker Digital. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. And today I'm going to talk about a strategy that we recommend all the time on the Copyblogger blog, in our authority community of content marketers, but a lot of people still don't completely understand it. And it's guest posting, which is getting your content published on someone else's site. So I'll answer some of the questions I see all the time about guest posting, and I'll also let you know why I'm such a fan of this strategy. And by the way, when I say guest post, you can almost always substitute the word podcast. As far as I'm concerned, a podcast functionally is an audio blog, and the same overall strategies are going to apply. So before we start with some of the questions that I get asked all the time, I just want to talk about why guest post in the first place. What's the function of guest posting? And in my experience and from what I'm observing in other folks, guest posting is probably the single best way to grow your audience. So if you don't have an audience yet that's the size you want, it's a great way to get started on growing your audience. You know, there are other ways that you can get discovered. You can advertise with things like pay-per-click advertising. You can, you know, have great SEO so people are coming to you on search. Those will tend to be more appropriate for a site that's more mature. But when you're getting off the ground, putting your content, your voice, your expertise, your knowledge in front of other people's audiences is a great way to build your own audience. So that's why we do it. That's why we guest post. So by far the biggest question, the most frequent question I'm asked about guest posting is guest posting bad for SEO, for search engine optimization? And this fairly wide misconception came from Matt Cutts. So Matt was at that time head of Google's anti-spam team, and he made a quick video about some just particularly clumsy spam guest posts that he had been seeing. So he was frustrated, and I think, frankly, anybody with that job would be frustrated, and so he spoke a little rashly. And unfortunately, his comments sent a lot of shockwaves around, which weren't really merited, and they weren't even in the spirit of what he meant. Now, before I talk about specifically search engine optimization, Google, and guest posting, I just want to take a one-minute detour to talk about Google in general. So, there are some very highly informed and very technical SEOs out there whose idea of a good time is, you know, reading 100 pages of Google patent applications. So, that is not me, and it's probably not you either. So, those folks make up what I call elite SEO. You know, the name that springs to my mind is someone like a Greg Boser. So it's maybe 1 or 2% of SEO knowledge today is coming out of those elite, really high-level SEOs. And it's, of course, it's a very powerful 2%, but most of us mortals are going to have a better time mastering the other 98% of search engine optimization. And that 98% is really about serving an audience of human beings first, and then if you need to, going back and tweaking your content very slightly so that search engine algorithms just understand what you're doing. So it's not particularly technical. It's more good business and good creating great stuff for audience than it is about, you know, technical elements. Now, if you want to know what those little tweaks are, we have a free ebook on it. It's nothing weird. It's nothing spammy. It's not jamming your keywords in there a million times. We have an SEO copywriting ebook. I'll link to that in the show notes. You can find those at pinkhairedmarketer.fm. And it just requires free registration. So, and you can pick it up free. So there exist complex SEO problems, and I don't talk about solutions to those problems because it's just not at all my area of expertise. What I do talk about is that 98% of general SEO best practices, because they boil down to things like respect for your audience, intelligent business practices, creating content that's worth consuming, and that's all stuff that you can do. So with that in mind, let's get back to guest posting. I think it's pretty clear that Matt Cutts never meant to say that publishing high-quality guest posts on good sites with a real intention of communicating with a real audience was a spammy technique. You know, he was blowing off steam about an unfortunately kind of prevalent practice among less capable SEOs of publishing lousy guest posts on not really very awesome sites in order to game search engines. And he actually came back later and very, you know, explicitly clarified that. That's why I feel confident that that's what he meant. But, you know, as so often happens on the internet, the sensational half-baked truth tends to outrank and outpace the boring reality. So guest posting the right way is actually a really excellent technique for improving your rankings in search engines, but it's not instant. It's not something that, you know, you're going to sit down, crank out some things in a day or two, and have instant results. When you place excellent content that informs and educates an audience onto a site that has a, you know, a good-sized number of people paying attention to it, that resulting link is going to be a very natural, very high-quality link that sends the right signals to the search engines that you're an authoritative source in your topic. And my rule of thumb with search engine optimization is I never try and chase an artificial signal. In other words, I never try and create some little snippet of computer code that would tell the search engine something that isn't true. So we make use of little bits of code. You know, we use tags in a way that makes sense, in a common sense way. So for example, you use a tag that indicates that a certain article is the original version of that article and not a copy. But instead, I try and work to create the actual signal. So for example, you're going to signal that you have high-quality content by writing high-quality posts. And I'm not saying this to be a goody-two-shoes, and I'm not saying this to be kumbaya and say that, you know, Google is some kind of wonderful deity that we should be placating. I just find it's more practical to build the real thing and then let the algorithms figure it out and give them as little help as you can get away with. So to boil it down into a rule of thumb, in my opinion, if it doesn't otherwise make good business sense, it's usually a bad idea to do something just for the SEO value. So once again, if you have an elite SEO working on your site, her advice is going to trump my advice. So please do not go back to your extremely capable SEO and said Sonia says to do it differently. But I would suggest that any advice you're taking from a highly qualified professional SEO, you need to understand the business case for that advice. So pulling it back to guest posting, a couple of sites that misunderstood, in my opinion, that advice from Matt Cutts started using nofollow for their links when they link back to guest posters. Now, what that means is that the search engines are being told not to consider that link when they're figuring out whether your site is good or not good. And I think this is a bad business decision. And, you know, related to that, I personally would not publish a guest post on a site that was using nofollow to link back to me. Now, if you pay a site to publish your content, then it's going to have to be a nofollow link, which normally in most cases I wouldn't recommend that you would do. But a paid link, you know, something like a directory that I might pay to be included in, I would expect that link back to me to be marked nofollow, just to be very squeaky clean and upfront about how you do things. All right, that's enough SEO. I'll link some other SEO resources for you if this is a topic that interests you. You know, it does interest most of us. We want to get found in the search engines, but you need to create that base of high-quality content first, and then you need to attract links from good sites second, and that's where guest posting can be very, very useful. So the second question would be, what kind of content should I create for a guest post? And you want to look at two main things when you're creating your guest post content. You want to look at quality and you want to look at relevance. So your guest posts are not your second best material. You want to be creating work that is at least as good as what you're publishing on your own site. If you think about it, a guest post is your opportunity to strut your stuff in front of a new audience or a bigger audience. So why would you go out with weak material? Why would you put your second best material in front of a larger audience? That doesn't make any sense. Now, the other factor is relevance, and that's where your guest posts sometimes will look, you know, fairly different from what you usually create. Because before you start creating guest content, I want you to take a look at what else is being posted on that site. What kind of audience do they have? What questions do those people have? So if that's a site that has reader comments, look carefully. What kinds of conversations, what kind of questions are coming up there? What are the recurring themes that that site covers again and again? If you can, talk with the site's editor about the content that they're particularly looking for. Sometimes there's something of a hole in the editorial calendar, and they're looking for somebody to jump in and fill that up. So your content has to be 100% relevant to the audience on that site in that context. And because of that, it may look a little different than this content on your site because your site is a different context. And that's totally okay. Just make sure to keep the quality level very high. The third question, this is a big one, is how do I find sites to guest post for? How do I figure out which sites I'm going to position a content, my content on? And you know, most people want to jump right into posting on that big name, the big audience site for their topic. But as you might imagine, those sites have a lot of people who want to write for them. And that's, of course, if they take guest posts at all right now. For example, Copyblogger at this point in time doesn't really take new guest writers. The guest writers that we are running right now are people we have a relationship that we have asked to tackle a particular topic for us. So most of the time, what I've found works better and what worked better for me, have those sites on your list. You know, identify the big sites that you would like to write for and try. Go for it. Give it a shot. But also include the sites that are about as big as your site or a little bigger that have the audience that you want. So that site might have just more of the kind of people that you already have, you know, young IT professionals or working moms or whatever your audience is that you have for your site. Or it could be a new kind of person you'd like to pull toward you. So the wonderful blogging maven Liz Smith once said, "Little bloggers grow up. Never ever write a site off because they don't have that huge audience yet." What you want to look for are sites that have great quality and engaged readers. Even if there aren't, you know, millions of engaged readers, the readers they have are really plugged in and dialed in. And it's often the case that a smaller but more engaged audience actually brings more value to you in a lot of ways than that huge, you know, household name blog will. Another question I get all the time, is it okay to link back to my own site when I write a guest post? So I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is not a universal opinion. In my opinion, it's 100% fine to link back to your own material, but you have to be cool about it. Now, different sites have different policies, so you need to know what's expected before you put the work in of, you know, pitching a post and writing it. Again, I personally would not write for a site that did not let me include a couple of links back to my own material in the content. But here's where a lot of guest posters get a little off track, and I think this is why some sites have fairly stringent rules about not linking back to your own stuff. You're not creating this crazy infomercial-style promotion. What you're building in there are normal, natural links back to cornerstone ideas that you have expanded on elsewhere. So if I write a guest post for somebody and I make reference to productivity techniques for flaky people, then it's the most normal, natural thing in the world for me to link back to my podcast about productivity for flakes. It's just a normal link. You see this kind of link in stories every day. And the idea is to expand on a concept in more depth for the people who want more information. And, you know, I just want to pound this home. There's no earthly reason to mark that link nofollow for search engines. It's a normal link. It's the kind of link that posts, you know, that site's author might have included in any post. Now, of course, you're going to link back to a couple of well-selected examples of your strongest work in a way that's super highly relevant to the reader. So do not try and cram a million links in there because it's rude. Also, I suggest you include some very similar cornerstone concept style links to that blog's previous content, wherever it's relevant, wherever it makes sense. That is, in my opinion, just good manners. And it shows that you're not trying to take unreasonable advantage of your guest posting opportunity. And it also shows that you're very familiar with that blog's strongest content. And if you aren't, you're not ready to start guest posting there. Do that homework before you even pitch. So I don't want this to go too long, and I don't want to reiterate a million tips everyone else has already given you. I want to wrap up by just talking about how to get the most out of the time that you put into guest blogging, because this is not in any way a low work strategy. This is a, you know, a high work, high focus, high concentration, high creativity strategy. So I want to make sure that you're getting bang for your buck if you decide to pursue it. And I think you should. If you can create good quality content on your site, and you might want to take a look back at the podcast I created before this one on the process for creating high quality content for your site. If you can do that for your own site, it's really smart to do it for someone else's site that has either a different audience or a bigger audience, just to start to expand your reach. So how to do this in a smart way. First, in your bio for your guest post, make sure you talk about what you do and who you do it for. So the positioning for whatever it is that you're doing. And this has to be relevant to your host site. Remember, we talked about relevance sometimes is different from site to site and context is different. This needs to be insanely clear and nicely concise. So anybody who reads that guest post should be able to know if there's something that you have to offer that might help them with some issue they care about. You know, you're a copywriter for attorneys. You're a graphic designer for environmentally conscious companies, that kind of thing. People need to know what you do, who you do it for. Don't get cute. Don't get clever. Be clear. Then you want to pair that with a targeted landing page for that site. So if you have a post for The Awesome Blog, then the bio for everything that you guest post on that blog links to a page that says, "Welcome, readers of The Awesome Blog," and it has a message that's targeted to those readers. This is the bridge, the context bridge between what is relevant for that site and what is relevant for your site. And you just build that bridge to bring people on over to what you're doing. And you can keep that page current for those readers, because a good guest post often gets pretty decent search traffic, and you may see traffic coming in from that site for a long time. I'm not saying a flood of traffic, it depends on what the site is, but you may very well see a trickle of good, focused people who might potentially be excellent customers, clients, whatever it is you're looking for, coming in for a long time. So you want to keep that page current and keep that page relevant to what you're doing today. One of the things this helps guard against is you're not having to go back constantly to the blog that you posted on and say, "Can you update my bio? Can you update my bio?" Keep the bio relevant, succinct, with a general concept of what you do. Link to a targeted landing page. That landing page is where you're going to put the most current context. And related to this, I really recommend you focus your guest posting on a few sites and publish there relatively often. Now, you don't have to do it forever, but if you have, you know, a focused period of time, 3 months, 6 months, where you're publishing at a larger site frequently, you start to get a reputation with the readers of that site, and they start to understand who you are and what you do. So on Copyblogger, you've seen writers like James Chartrand, Sean Platt, Beth Hayden, all help to boost their own audiences by showing up regularly on Copyblogger and giving, you know, their A game to that blog. And some current folks who we're highlighting include Sonia Thompson and Charlie Gilkey. Oh, and by the way, Pamela Wilson and I both did that too, except we went all Stockholm Syndrome and actually joined the company. And quite a few people who are now part of our company started out by guest posting regularly on the blog. So sometimes that can happen too, and when it does, that's kind of cool. So just to give you my perspective on Copyblogger, for those writers we do include in our, you know, fairly small stable of regular guest writers, Copyblogger is more on the friendly to self-promotion side, as long as it's handled in an appropriate way. And, you know, that's one of the reasons we work with a small handful of people, is because we work with that person to promote their business in a way that serves our audience and serves their audience as well. Now, not every blog has the same rules we do, but you want to be able to serve both your host site's audience and your own long-term business strategy. And if you can't, if it was me, I would keep looking until you find a site where the answer is and not or. You know, one of the cornerstone ideas of this podcast, the podcast you're listening, is that you can get the word out about what you do in a way that's cool and not spammy or creepy. So this one is just a bit longer because it is a somewhat advanced topic. If you want some more thoughts on how to make the connections with sites to promote your work, because that's a big concept, I do have a free ebook that I wrote on it. It's called Effective Content Promotion. And you can find a link in the show notes. Or if you're signed up with our free content marketing library over on copyblogger.com, you just find it in the ebook tab. So if going to pinkhairedmarketer.fm is something you don't feel like doing today, just mosey over to Copyblogger anytime. Sign up for the free resources there, and that will get you instant access to our content marketing library that has that SEO copywriting book I talked about. It has the content promotion ebook. It has lots and lots of stuff, and you'll get instant access to that to help you just be a better content marketer or a smarter business person. So that is it for today. If you are listening to this podcast live, remember we will be on a holiday schedule for Thanksgiving and Christmas weeks on the Rainmaker.fm network. So the Monday of Thanksgiving week, we're going to be rerunning my podcast about productivity for flakes. I mentioned it earlier. It got a lot of thumbs up from the audience and the community. So if you have a little bit of a flaky side to you and you want to be more productive, that is the one to look for. And I'm still looking for suggestions for Christmas week. So if you have a favorite that you think should be rerun, let me know in the comments, pinkhairedmarketer.fm. You can also always find me on Twitter at Sonia Simone. I have a great time there. I love being there. So if you'd like to hang out with me more, that's the place to do it. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Take care, and I'm looking forward to seeing where you're guest posting. If you've placed a guest post, let us know in the comments. We would love to cheer you on and come, you know, leave a comment and say hello. Thanks, everybody. Take care. See you next week.